Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I can't decide whether or not I think it would be an abject failure if the Lakers missed the playoffs this year. I've been going over that in my mind and looking at it from a bunch of different angles during the update with Marco Belletti and also during that break. It's an interesting question if you consider the fact that this is LeBron's first year there. And sure, they want to snap their playoff drought. 11-12 was the last time they made the postseason, if I'm not mistaken. Brain's a little fuzzy, though. So if I get a number wrong here or there, well, don't at me. Right now, they're dead even at 500, 29-29. And they are 2.5 games back of the number 8 spot in the West, which happens to be their Staples Center mates. In the Clippers. They also have the Kings between them and the Clippers. So right now, as Brad Turner of the LA Times told us, they're in 10th place. There's a lot that can change between now and the end of the regular season. So 82 games in a regular season, teams have played anywhere between 58, 59, 60 games now, roughly. Actually, it's probably 57, 58, 59. I don't know that any team's played 60 yet. So they've got time to make up ground. But I don't know that I would consider it a huge failure for them not to make the playoffs when you consider they put together a roster that's piecemeal, essentially. They tried that Anthony Davis move. It didn't work. But you know that Magic Johnson and LeBron by proxy are going big or going home in the offseason. I mean, they've got major plans to try to bring in max players, max talent if possible. Klay Thompson, right? He's one that they'd love to get their eyes on, at least to get his attention. I'm not sure that's possible. If the Warriors give him a max offer, he may not look anywhere else. Anthony Davis, you know they're going to make another run at Davis, though as long as Davis is under contract with the Pelicans, I'm not sure they're interested in sending the brow to Hollywood. But Kawhi Leonard, let's not forget about that piece. And I know Toronto fans don't want to hear it, and I'm not saying I know for sure that he's leaving, but he is going to be a free agent at the end of the season. And while we don't know how this particular Toronto chapter ends. Do they catch the Bucks for first place in the East? Do they get back to the Eastern Conference Finals? Do they finally get to the NBA Finals? Who knows? That still has to play out and could affect Kawhi Leonard. But don't forget, he also indicated that he really wanted to play in LA. I think the only thing that's really safe to say is that we know Kevin Durant is not going to the Lakers. Even though he was the first pick on Team LeBron for the All-Star Draft, he's already made his feelings known about playing alongside LeBron, or, let me rephrase, playing in LeBron's shadow. Would you consider it to be a failure if these Lakers didn't make the playoffs? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'm at 93.7 The Fan, our Pittsburgh affiliate. It's great to be back in the Steel City, which, of course, it's not a city that's based on steel anymore, but that goes back. This is a city where I spent a lot of time when I was still wandering around these United States. My mom's whole side of the family is from an hour northwest of here, roughly northwest of here, just over the Ohio line. So I spent so much time with my grandparents, my mom's whole side of the family, that I grew up on the Cleveland-Pittsburgh rivalry because Youngstown area is halfway between the two. And so I've spent a lot of time in both cities, but I hadn't been to Pittsburgh in a really long time. So I did the 90-minute nap. It hurts now even to think about it. When I got off the show on Thursday morning, I took a 90-minute nap. The car was all packed up, ready to go. And then after sleeping for 90 minutes, Penny and I hopped in the car. She is the best travel companion. She's so much fun. Except for when she runs through the mud at the rest area. But otherwise, she's great. And so I wanted to bring her to work, but I knew there was no way. I don't want to wear out my welcome in Pittsburgh. And so she's back at the Airbnb sleeping away. And it's good to have her. It's better to travel with her than to travel by myself. And so we made the trip. And no problems. It was easy. It was great to be back in Pittsburgh. And the cool thing was I'm staying on the North Shore, for those of you who are familiar with Pittsburgh. And in order to get to my apartment where I'm staying, I drove right by Heinz Field. Now, I was in traffic, so it's not like I could stop and take a picture or even try to take one out the window. But I hadn't seen Heinz Field that up close before. I'd seen it from other perspectives around Pittsburgh. In fact, I'd seen it from PNC Park before, but I'd not ever been that up close. And then I was told that I could easily take the train. There's a light rail that goes around downtown. I could take the train to PPG Paints Arena. Well, it just so happened that the train station I used, Allegheny Station, again, for those of you who are familiar, is literally the stop next to Heinz Field. So it was kind of fun to be in the shadow of the football stadium. And I sent a picture of it to my friend who's a Ravens fan. That sat really well. Anyway, so yeah, that was cool. And then light rail was great. And I just followed the throngs of people wearing black and gold and had no trouble getting to PPG Paints. And I would say it was relatively stress-free other than the whole only sleeping 90 minutes thing. But here I am, still alive, still talking. I sent Chris a bunch of pictures from inside the Penguin Sharks game so that you can see what I was seeing. And I'll put those up on Facebook at our next break, I promise. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page named after the show. And the phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. The number remains toll-free no matter where I am. So I've seen some of your tweets and your reaction about Zion Williamson. I mean, this week, I don't know what's going on with you guys on Facebook. You're crazy this week. Everything we put up this week has got hundreds of comments, but many of you very passionate about whether or not young men, in this case, young men, should be allowed to go directly from high school to the NBA, or if they're younger, and you know, there are some people who start college before they turn 18. So, you know, that's always a possibility. They have to wait until they're 18. And the new proposal is on the table now. Ironically enough, it comes out 2 days after, well, a day after Zion Williamson has this knee injury that looked like it could have been a whole lot worse. All right, so that was the part, I think, that really put a scare into a lot of people and has people talking about, again, why is he risking his NBA career and all that money he could make by playing something so far beneath him as college basketball? And yes, I'm being tongue-in-cheek. I certainly am. He wants to play college hoops. You may remember that months ago, he even said, Zion Williamson said in an interview, even if he was allowed to go directly to the NBA, he wanted this experience. He wants to be a college student. He wants to play for an NCAA championship. He wants to experience March Madness. Not to mention playing for Duke and the iconic Coach Krzyzewski. So that's not Zion Williamson's story. He didn't want to jump directly to the NBA. He wanted this year to enjoy college hoops. But there certainly would be some players who would attempt to make that jump if this proposal goes through. Now, I mentioned this last hour. One of the big concerns with Commissioner Adam Silver and the NBA, the owners, is that you'd be watering down the product with young men who maybe are just 18 or still are just teenagers in general. Now, I know you could yell at me about Luka Doncic. I get it. There are some guys who are physically and mentally equipped at a young age. We see guys in the NFL, Sam Darnold being a great example, guys who maybe way younger than you would expect the average teenager. 20's not teenager, but you get what I'm saying. The average college age student, college age young person, to be able to handle everything that these pro athletes have thrown at them. So yes, you get a few here and there, but the majority are not equipped. If you're not 18, 19, 20, as you listen to this show, let's say you're older than that, your 30s, your 40s, you're older than that. Think about where you were and what you were doing and your insecurities, your fears, your anxieties, the kinds of things that you wrestled with when you were 18, 19, 20. I look back and I barely recognize that girl. There are a lot of things that change. And the person I was then wouldn't have been equipped to handle, let's say, national radio career. Now, I'm just using my own perspective. I wouldn't have been ready if I didn't go through all the paces, if I didn't move all over the country, if I didn't do a variety of different jobs for a handful of different radio stations, if I didn't do news first and then make the jump to full-time sports, if I didn't go through all the adversity, I wouldn't be equipped to handle the job that I'm in now. And even just the last 15 years, if I didn't work in my previous network and have all the stops and starts there, it didn't go the way I wanted it to for the most part. I had bigger plans. And I finally left because I wanted to make those bigger plans somewhere else. I wouldn't be ready for what I'm doing right now if I didn't go through all the steps. And so the validity of the idea is, I think, is valuable that sometimes 18, 19, 20-year-olds are not ready. Not only do you not want to have the emotional drama of having young people in the NBA when they're not equipped, but you also don't want the legitimate issues of all of a sudden an 18-year-old or 19-year-old becomes a millionaire and doesn't know what to do with it. We have way too many stories like that where young people got rich and got famous way more quickly than they could handle it. They didn't know how to do it. They had the wrong people in their ears and they didn't know how to handle that new platform and all that money. And then in addition, we're talking about the basketball part of things. 18, 19, 20-year-olds, maybe not Zion Williamson. Again, you've got freak of nature type of athletes. LeBron made the jump straight from high school. Though if you look back at his high school pictures, he's obviously more developed, more filled out. He's a different body type now than he was then. But not every 18, 19, 20-year-old can handle the rigors of the NBA. So while we're talking about the risk of Zion Williamson and other college basketball players getting injured, I mean, what about putting an 18-year-old up against a LeBron James? That could be a recipe for disaster as well. Now, does the 1 year make a difference? Probably not in every case. And so that's why arguing this may be much ado about nothing. Because right now, 19 is the age, 19 or 1 year. And the one-and-done phenomenon has taken over college basketball. But the idea that the NBA clings to is that if you're playing big-time college basketball, you're on national TV, you're in a spotlight, you're on one of the sport's biggest stages, theoretically, with March Madness, whatever power conference you're in, it prepares you. If you have a coach who understands what it means to be a professional basketball player, can help you. You develop mentally, you develop physically. At least you have that year to prepare as opposed to being a somewhat clueless kid coming directly out of high school. And again, there are exceptions to every rule, but let's be honest. Most 18, 19, 20-year-olds, including me, clueless. You don't even know what you don't know. You're naive. And you're generally a mess in many cases. And so I'm torn. And I understand why the NBA and the Players Association are torn. You don't want to water down your product. You don't want the NBA to have a bunch of young kids that can't handle it. And also there's the college basketball side of this thing, too. How much does this affect college hoops when the brightest talent is not part of the college game even for 1 year? So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'd love to hear from you, or also our Facebook page. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. You can join CBS on the road to the Final Four with great NCAA basketball this weekend. Saturday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, that's 10:30 a.m. Pacific, Auburn invades Lexington to take on fourth-ranked Kentucky. That's followed by number 16 Florida State versus 8th-ranked North Carolina in Chapel Hill. And, of course, the Tar Heels just went into Duke and knocked off the top-ranked team in the nation. On Sunday, it's Villanova. It's in desperate need of a win to right the ship. Tips off against Xavier. That's 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific again. And the weekend concludes when 7th-ranked Michigan hosts number 10, Michigan State. There is madness in the air. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Oh, I want something just like.
Barnes, shot clock at 8, 3:07 to go. It's KD time on the right wing. Jab step, low, rip through, baseline, fade away, on the rim, rolled it down. 111-108. He is so cold, ice water late in the game. With 2:35 to go as Curry now off a screen, just takes a three, got it! Barnes was slow to come out. Bogdanović got screened off. Heald got screened off. 6-point lead. Screen for Curry. Curry on Bagley. Backs him up with the dribble. Takes a three over the top of him and knocked it down. 117-111. Curry's got 34. He's got 10 threes tonight.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Fourth affair for a good portion of the game between the Kings and the Warriors at Oracle. However, Steph Curry had 11 points in the fourth quarter, as you hear with Tim Roy on the Warriors radio network, and he was 10 of 16 from downtown. Now, interesting note from this game, Twitter is such a weapon, right? And NBA players, they pay close attention to what else is happening in the league and very often will take to social media to express their satisfaction, to cheer, to applaud, or the opposite sometimes, to criticize. Let me just set this up without getting too complicated. Buddy Hield helped the Kings close within a couple of points because he had back-to-back threes. And the Kings had a chance to tie the game late. So Andre Iguodala misses a pair of free throws, so he doesn't put the game out of reach, and the Kings then have a chance to tie, but Buddy Hield fires up an air ball as time expires. And so I saw this interesting exchange on Twitter in which Damian Lillard jumps in. All right, so Marcus Thompson, who's been on the show before, he now is with The Athletic. He's a longtime Warriors reporter and insider. And he tweeted about the Kings coach discouraging Buddy Hield from taking threes. Okay, so again, I don't want to get too complicated, you know, time and space, everything else. But Hield apparently passed up on an open three and instead drives into traffic. And then, throws up an air ball. So he'd hit a couple of threes, but he heard the criticism of his coach passed on what was an open look to potentially win the game against the Warriors from deep and instead drove. So after Marcus Thompson tweets about this, Damian Lillard weighs in with this. Maybe if his coach didn't yell at him for making the same shot, he would have shot the MF. I mean, that's firing a shot over the wall. So Dame is paying attention, and he does. He's pretty active on social media anyway. But yeah, he jumps into this conversation, kind of started by Marcus Thompson, about Buddy Hield passing up this three. And Lillard points the finger at the coach and says, hey, how about stop yelling at him for making the same shot? And he wouldn't have to second guess or hesitate. And Hield, of course, is still a young player out of Oklahoma. I mean, there's never a dull moment on NBA Twitter. It's not even the fans. It's the athletes themselves, though. Now that LeBron has activated the playoff version of himself, I think he stays off of social media now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he's done with Twitter. He did say not that long ago, you know how the young guys like to tweet. Hello, Kettle. You're black. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's quick squeeze in Dan, who's in Michigan. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. I agree with you somewhat, but I disagree with you in another.
About what?
The politics and coaching is so bad that a lot of people get out of sports because of the politics. You might have a great quarterback that is absolutely phenomenal, but he can't play because the coach's son is playing.
Well, not at the NFL level.
That happens in all the sports. And I'll use myself as an example. Back in junior high, I swam the fastest 50 in a relay because they wouldn't let me swim it for time. I could only swim it in a relay. And I beat all the high schoolers, even at the state level, that year in junior high. And that's politics. That's BS, and it happens all the time.
Okay, but are you referring to something specific at the college or NBA level, college NFL level? Because that typically doesn't happen when you get to that level.
When it goes for college and NBA. Amy, this was back in the 70s when Mark Spitz won his 7 gold medals.
Okay, I got you. But do you have a specific example from the NBA where this happens?
It happens all the time, Amy. I wasn't allowed to play because I was white. I was a white player that was not allowed to play basketball because I was white.
Okay, Dan. I'm not sure we're on the same page, but thank you so much for your phone call from Michigan. I appreciate it. 855-212-4227. I wish I had any idea where he was going with that, but I do not. Lots of you are weighing in on Twitter and Facebook, and here's the deal. I'm in Pittsburgh, and you know it. I'm not going to be here much longer. After I sleep for a few hours, I have to get back home. I've got a cat that needs some attention. My cat, unfortunately, just got diagnosed with cancer, and so I can't leave her for very long. So I can't stay too long, and so I have to get back to her. But also, it's the weekend, and I don't want to spend my weekend driving. I want to get home. So I appreciate your offers for dinner and everything else. Thank you so much. Your recommendations for where I should stop and what I should see while I'm here. I'm pretty familiar with Pittsburgh. I do love the area. Just haven't been here in a while. But everyone keeps telling me I need to visit. I don't know how to say it. Primanti Brothers. And so I just got this tweet from Judge who says, if you need dinner after the show. No. He says, Primanti Brothers in the Strip District is open 24/7. Well, I'm not going to any Strip District at 6 a.m. in the morning or any other time. And B, this sandwich is mammoth. So it's a picture that Chris just retweeted after our CBS. I don't think that I could eat that and then go to bed. I feel like that's a really bad idea, but it looks like it's maybe roast beef with a ton of cheese and then a layer of French fries. I think that might be coleslaw on top and some tomatoes, so like shredded cabbage, shredded lettuce, and then tomatoes, and a big old slab of bread on top.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Shooting, and there's a throwaway. Oh, Morris into the crowd, spilled the beer. And will they cross the line? They do. Morris is dripping with beer. Pastel, Steyer, some Schlitz maybe, who knows? He's just soaked in beer in the pour, and it's in the guy's hair. It's in the guy's hair. Your Bledsoe with a three. No. Beer is every place. Some of Milwaukee's, the Miller High Life spilled on the floor.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's classic Kevin Harlan. I don't even know another announcer on the planet who could pull off a beer spill, beer in the hair for both Morris of the Celtics, Marcus Morris, as well as the fan himself. And the video is, well, Kevin Harlan's call is better even than what you, if you just saw the video without Kevin Harlan's call, it would still be pretty interesting because Morris is definitely shaking beer off of him and including in his hair, and it's kind of dripping as he runs back up the court. But then you also have this fan who's like trying to shake it out of his hair, almost like he walked into, or he's got out of the shower and his hair is wet, and he's like running his hands through his hair, which, oh, not only must that smell, but it also must be just disgusting in your hair. I'm trying to think if I've had beer spilled on other parts of me. I don't think I've ever had beer spilled on my hair. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So that was Kevin Harlan on TNT Thursday night, and he goes absolutely flawlessly between, he morphs from beer is in his hair, beer is every place, to Bledsoe with the three. And you know he doesn't ever miss a beat. It's perfect. But it reminded me of Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner a couple years ago on Monday Night Football, when we got not just the epic call that went viral before he even got off the airplane, but the call that Kevin Harlan later told me he worried might cost him his job.
Third and four, looks into the nickel of San Francisco in the secondary. Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh,
Kevin.
They got him.
Here comes
They're coming
the blue
from the
coats.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line. Oh, that was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.
I tell you what, that was a great call on your part. That was a great call.
So good. Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner at the time on Westwood One. And I remember it happened to be a really bad game. It wasn't one of those that was epic that you're going to write home about on a Monday night. You wouldn't recommend that anybody else watched it. And so he turned that call of the streaker on the field into this incredible play-by-play montage that just went viral. And I don't know, maybe now people recognize him for these quirky calls, out-of-the-box calls, and so he has this reputation to live up to, like he did with Milwaukee and the beer, and the beer literally everywhere. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227, and that's how you can reach us, reach me. Even though I'm not at CBS Sports Radio headquarters, I'm still very much available to you. And we're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh is where I'm posted up, and I appreciate the accommodations of Jim, who's the program director, as well as Michael. So Michael thankfully already works overnights and didn't have to come here specifically just to babysit me. But I feel like I need to be nicer to Michael for two reasons. One, when I got here and he walked me into the building, I had two requests. I needed ice for my coffee, and I needed a fork because I had walked out of my room, my apartment, without a fork for my big salad that I'd made. So thankfully, after rummaging around, Michael helped me to find both of those things. And then I found out he was a Lions fan, so I thought I should be extra nice to him. Yes, I try to accommodate sports fans of all shapes and sizes, of all fan types. That doesn't make any sense, but you know what I mean. No matter who you root for, I want you to feel like you're part of the family. So thank you, Michael. Let's talk to Carrie, who's in Alaska. Carrie, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Man, I almost forgot what I wanted to talk about after listening to that Kevin Harlan call. That was hilarious.
I know. Oh, man.
God, that was great. But I was trying to help my man out in Michigan, that last call you had. You know, Uncle Rico was going to throw the ball over the mountains if he would have just got put in or whatever. but I think he was probably trying to go at, I don't know, maybe the Belichick piece where, Belichick and Brady were Kraft end up pushing off Garoppolo out to San Francisco to keep that tandem together or whatever. That could have been a political move, but I don't know. I heard it and I felt so bad for my man. I was like, let me call and try to pull him on or something, maybe. I don't know.
Well, that was nice of you. And I know in light of the article that was written by Seth Wickersham, looking at the relationship between Belichick and Brady, and who knows how much it was true. They obviously denied it, but I don't believe that Seth would have made all that stuff up. So definitely there were some sources who were talking to him about that relationship. But in light of that lens, yes, maybe people feel like the Jimmy Garoppolo trade was one that had to be made. The owner forced it because Brady was insecure or, you know, blah, 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 whatever. But the reality is they couldn't keep Garoppolo because at the end of that season, he was going to walk. He was a free agent. He wanted the chance to start. He was done being a backup. How many times has Brady said over and over, I want to play till I'm 45? The writing was on the wall for the Patriots and for Garoppolo. He knew he wasn't going to start if he stayed in New England, and he also knew that he was going to have the chance to pick his team. Well, if he had been allowed to become a free agent, the Patriots would have lost him for nothing. So they had to trade him, which is why they didn't get a whole lot back for him with the Niners, and they waited until the last second. So I get what you're saying. Certainly there are some moves that are made that are about political. For instance, when you have a really high draft pick who's a big investment making a lot of money, and he's starting over a veteran who maybe is a better option at that point. I can think of examples in both football and basketball, even in baseball too, where you throw the young guy out there, sink or swim, maybe he's not ready, but because you drafted him so high and because you have to find out whether or not he can handle the sport, then you leave him out there even if he's not the best option. You know, going back to the Giants, when they first had Eli Manning on hand and Kurt Warner was the starter at the time, he led the team to a 5-2 record. And then did he have a hand injury? It's some sort of an injury. But either way, the team went to Eli Manning, though Manning wasn't ready, but he was their draft pick. He was the guy they traded for, and they just were ready to make that switch. They decided, we're not going to go anywhere in the playoffs, so we might as well switch to the rookie now.
Yeah, you're spot on, and that's why you're in the spot you are right now. So, yeah.
Oh, thank you, sir. Well, there definitely are politics. I will give you that. I don't think they were kind of the politics he was talking about, but that was really nice of you to rescue him.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Uncle Rico. All right. Thanks for listening to the call.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for listening in Alaska. That's really cool, Carrie. Have a great day. 855-212-4227. Let's see if we can work in. Is it Britton who's in California? Britton, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. Thank you for playing that Kevin Harlan call. That was awesome.
I know, isn't
that
great?
Forever. That's a great one. Well, I hope your energy stays up on your road
me
trip
too.
And for your ride home. Sounds like you got a long one. The reason I'm calling tonight, and I wanted to ask you an honest question, is in talking about the young athletes who might be able to enter the NBA at age 18, you made awesome points about the considerations outside of their physical ability. But I wondered, and I truly wonder, how many of these young athletes would really be candidates for entering the NBA? Is it like 6, 12? I mean, they still have to be drafted, right? They still have to earn a roster spot.
Yes, you're right.
Is it gonna change the league? Or what do you think? Is it just going to be something that allows a few people to enter earlier? Or is it something that's going to change college and pro basketball?
I think what's more likely to happen, and you make a good point, there aren't that many 18-year-olds, even 19-year-olds, that could make the jump directly from high school to the NBA. And the NBA scouts will have done their due diligence and gone through the evaluation process. I'm not sure how much access they would have to these high schoolers before graduation. To me, that's a little bit scary to think about agents and scouts and everything else with high school kids. But they would have to go through and figure out all those details. So you're right, there aren't that many, and the NBA teams would still have to draft them. The part, though, that I think would be more damaging is that you'd have more 18-year-olds who believe they could make the jump directly from high school to the NBA than actually can. It's the same thing when they lowered the number of years requirement, when they allowed guys to leave school early. You have all these young men who declare early for the draft, and then they don't get drafted, and now they're done. They can't go back to school, and so they've limited themselves. And so that's the idea, is that you'd have way too many of them thinking they could make that jump and then kind of backing themselves into a corner when it didn't work out. And so, Britton, thank you for pointing that out. You're right. There are very few 18-year-olds who could make that leap seamlessly. Very few who are physically and mentally ready to play in the NBA at 18. You have few exceptions. The idea, though, is that you have a lot of young people who had their family and their friends and agents in their ears telling them, oh yeah, you can do this. You are the next LeBron James. You're the next Luka Doncic. You can do this. And then they make the jump. They don't get drafted. And now what? So I don't know if that throws off all their eligibility. It's yet another question the NBA and the Players Association will have to answer. All right, we are halfway through. I'm at 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Final show of the work week. Thanks so much for joining us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.